eat, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
CannabisRadio.com presents The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is great, man. Well, on the
earth. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Thursday, January 5th, 2017, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show. We're coming to you live from beautiful, legal, freezing, cold Potland, Oregon, from Delta 9 Studios. And we're literally freezing cold. It's like below 32 here, which is kind of rare. And I know everybody listening to me east of where I'm at is probably guffawing at me for complaining. It's dry out, so we're not facing the mounds of snow that they're getting in southern Oregon, that you're getting my friends out there in Idaho. I've seen some of their pictures with feet of snow. And of course, back east, snow everywhere you look, but not here. Just cold, really freezing cold out here. But we'll warm up here. We've got some small fires to light, if you know what I mean, as we enjoy our legal cannabis here in the state of Oregon and the legal Pacific time zone. We've got a lot of information to bring to you today. I've been doing a lot of research today on medical marijuana because I just got the information from the state of Arkansas on their decision about their medical marijuana licensing fees. We're going to talk about that in drug war data mining today. Not only the latest information from Arkansas, but a look at some of the other medical marijuana states that are making it extremely difficult for anybody but the 1% to cultivate medical marijuana as a business. And it's just a further indication of how the money angle in marijuana may be undoing some of the legalization that we would like to see. So we'll talk about that coming up in drug war data mining. Also on the show, we'll have time to get behind the headlines. We're going to talk a little bit about the NFL and their substance abuse bans. There's another player from the number one seeded Dallas Cowboys in the NFC who has been popped for his marijuana use. So we'll talk about that coming up in behind the headlines. Also on the show today, we'll have time to talk about the continuing underground market in America and how the regulations that are being designed in this country for both medical and recreational marijuana are just guaranteeing that that underground market will not only continue, but flourish. So we'll take a look at that. We've also got some updates on industrial hemp to tell you about, some new state laws and some more data on the states that are growing industrial hemp. And we'll also take a look at the regulations in Colorado, where the former medical or the former marijuana enforcement division head has moved on to the state's Colorado Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, moving from the regulatory world into the business world, which is something we see all the time at the federal level and at the state level for that matter. And why should the marijuana business be any different? The revolving door from business to regulator, regulator to business. As this continues to unfold throughout America, we're going to have to be very diligent about maintaining the rights and privileges of the consumers. But all that comes right after the Cannabis Radio News. And in the headlines today, we've got a possibility of medical marijuana home grow in New Hampshire with a catch. We've got a look at Connecticut trying to help military veterans with medical cannabis. The state of Georgia may be looking at another medical marijuana bill or perhaps a referendum. We've got a candidate for mayor in Atlanta who is supportive of reforming marijuana laws. New data from Kentucky's hemp production. The story on Dallas Cowboys defensive end Randy Gregory. And more when we return.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
K cannabis use isn't the only thing growing, so are we. Grow with us. CannabisRadio.com.
Cannabis legalization efforts are increasing competition for businesses wanting to make it big. In this complex and fast-changing environment, only the savviest will survive. What are you going to do to stay ahead of the game? Enter New Frontier's free platform, Equio, the premier business intelligence, visualization, and marketing platform for the cannabis industry. With Equio, you can stay on top of your store's sales, trends, and competition, better understand your seasonality and broader sales trends, identify and compare your top products and categories, and cross-buying opportunities. Go to www.equio.io to sign up for your free membership today. That's EQUIO.io to sign up now. The power of real-time big data is now in your hands. Run with New Frontier and let us help you conquer the wild.
Fortunate to have Michael Brewer of Brewer and Shipley. Your signature top 10 song, One Toke Over the Line. I've read a couple different versions of what the tune's origins are. What's the true story?
We were playing a little club in Kansas City. A friend stopped by with some really good hash. We stepped out back and came back in. We're tuning up in the dressing room, and Tom said, "Man, I'm really One Toke Over the Line." And I just cracked up. I thought it was hysterical. We literally wrote that song just entertaining ourselves and to make our friends laugh.
Sitting downtown in a railway station, one toke over the line.
It's time to Hemp Presents, only on Cannabis Radio.
Open at the trailer's on time. Sitting downtown in a railway station, one toke over the line.
Marijuana is not addictive, but listening to the Russ Belville Show is.
When you are starting up a medical cannabis business, you want a fired-up lawyer who understands the needs of cannabis consumers. The Law Office of Lauren Vasquez is your fired-up lawyer for the cannabis industry. Visit her website, fireduplawyer.com, or call 1-855-MMJ-LAWS for more information. That's 855-665-5297 for Lauren Vasquez, your fired-up lawyer, or email fireduplawyer@gmail.com.
It's time for the Cannabis Radio News. Covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Cannabis Radio News is now available exclusively at CannabisRadio.com. Now your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is Cannabis Radio News.
This is your Cannabis Radio News for Thursday, January 5th, 2017. Patients using medicinal marijuana would be able to grow their own plants if a bill seeking to legalize homegrown medicinal cannabis is successful in the New Hampshire legislature this year. The bill would make New Hampshire the second-to-last state in New England to legalize homegrown medicinal marijuana. Connecticut is the only other New England state that still outlaws growing marijuana at home. Currently in draft form, the bill's language calls for allowing patients who live more than 30 miles from the nearest medical marijuana dispensary to grow medical marijuana. State Representative Rennie Cushing, a Democrat from Hampton, the bill's sponsor, said the wording of the bill could be altered again before it is introduced, including its 30-mile halo rule. Connecticut Representative Melissa H. Zeobron introduced a bill this week that would waive the registration and administrative fees for military veterans that qualify to become a medical marijuana patient in Connecticut. Marijuana can help veterans who suffer from PTSD to chronic pain, which is why veterans are increasingly turning to cannabis for relief. But for many veterans, the cost of applying to become a medical marijuana patient in states like Connecticut is too steep. No one knows for sure how many veterans are prevented from becoming a medical marijuana patient in Connecticut due to the cost. Georgia's legislature convenes next week, and marijuana reform is already at the top of one of at least one representative's list. Georgia State Representative Alan Peake supports medical marijuana in the state of Georgia and has made it clear he wants to introduce a medical marijuana bill this session, saying, quote, "We still face some stiff opposition from law enforcement as well as some faith-based organizations. Maybe the best solution is let's let the Georgia citizens decide by referendum in 2018, and we'll let the next governor decide how it's implemented," end quote, said Peake. Georgia State Senator Vincent Fort has written a letter to Peachtree Normal indicating his plan to run for mayor of Atlanta and his disdain for racially disproportionate marijuana arrests. Quote, "We are losing a generation of young people of color due to arrests for possession of marijuana," wrote Fort, adding, quote, "It is immoral and unethical for this city to spend our tax dollars locking kids up instead of lifting them out of this vicious cycle of poverty." And, quote, "It is no coincidence that a WSB-TV report last year found that 93% of Atlanta's marijuana possession arrests were African Americans," end quote. Kentucky's experiment with hemp production is yielding more acreage and more processors. Farmers gained approval to plant nearly three times more hemp than a year ago as testing accelerates on its viability as a cash crop, the state's agriculture department said Thursday. State agricultural officials approved 209 applications from growers, allowing them to produce up to 12,800 acres of hemp this year. Experimental projects began in Kentucky with a mere 33 acres in 2014. Last year, 137 growers were approved to plant up to 4,500 acres. Increased production is attracting more processors, who now total about 40 in the state of Kentucky. Dallas Cowboys defensive end Randy Gregory was suspended for at least a year Thursday for another violation of the NFL's substance abuse policy. It's the third time this season Gregory has been suspended. The first was a four-game ban, followed by 10 games on top of that. The latest suspension makes him ineligible for the playoffs, which start January 15th for Dallas, the top seed in the NFC. The 24-year-old former Nebraska standout slid to the second round of the 2015 draft over off-field concerns that included a positive test for marijuana at the NFL Combine. The Nye County Sheriff's Office says a Pahrump man in Nevada has been arrested after offering a deputy $30,000 to avoid arrest for his marijuana growing operation. The Sheriff's Office says 51-year-old Robert S. Behrens went to the Sheriff's Office in Pahrump Wednesday and asked to meet with a sergeant. Authorities say Behrens told the sergeant that an inmate at the county jail had told him the officer was shady, and Behrens asked the sergeant if he'd be willing to ignore Behrens' illegal marijuana plants in Amargosa Valley. Deputies say Behrens repeated the offer in front of an undercover officer, saying he'd give $30,000 to avoid arrest. The officers then arrested Behrens and booked him into the Nye County Jail on suspicion of bribery and burglary. This has been your Cannabis Radio News for Thursday, January 5th, 2017. I'm Russ Belville.
We don't limit how much you smoke, and we don't limit where you listen. Cannabis Radio is now on iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio.
CannabisRadio.com proudly presents the newest and greatest podcast in the galaxy, The Real Dirt with Chip Baker, your insider industry connection to accurate and entertaining information about cannabis technology, production, cultivation, and everything in between. Rolling joints and dropping knowledge about cannabis technology, production, cultivation, and everything in between. The future of legal cannabis has arrived, and we want to give you The Real Dirt with Chip Baker. Look for new episodes at CannabisRadio.com, TheRealDirt.com, or subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio.
This is Cannabis Facts from Robert Platshorn's TheSilverTour.org. Supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., poised to lead America's hemp revolution at HempInc.com. In 1937, the second most prescribed medicine, marijuana, was banned. It wasn't about marijuana. The paper, oil, and chemical industries lobbied to end hemp farming. No longer labor-intensive, an acre of hemp produced more quality paper than 4 acres of trees. Plastics and fibers could be produced from a plant. Hemp can even produce 10 times the energy of today's ethanol. As marijuana prohibition ends, many states now allow farmers to again grow hemp. This was Cannabis Facts from TheSilverTour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to process America's hemp crop at HempInc.com.
This is the Russ Belville Show, annoying Kevin Sabat since 2012.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living.
Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
The world of cannabis is evolving at a frenetic pace. The Russ Belville Show gets behind the headlines to take a deeper look at breaking news in our Cannabis Focus.
Today in the Cannabis Focus, we're taking a look at a survey that was written about on livescience.com. It appears in the Journal of Cannabis and Cannabinoid Therapies. And it's about the bud tenders that you might run into at a dispensary. The researchers involved with this study surveyed 55 dispensary staff members. This was throughout Colorado, California, Arizona, Oregon, D.C., Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and Maine. And this was both at medical and non-medical facilities. And what the researchers found is that 55% of the staff members surveyed, 30 out of the 55, had received any sort of formal training for their current positions. That is to say, 25 out of the 55 bud tenders had no training whatsoever. According to this survey, 20% had received any medical training on the health effects of marijuana, and just 13% received any training on the science of marijuana. Moreover, some of the dispensary staff members in the study made recommendations to people who were purchasing marijuana that were not accurate or appropriate for treating the customer's conditions. For example, 13% of the staff members in the study said they had recommended types of marijuana that are high in levels of THC to patients who were trying to treat anxiety. Previous research has shown that THC may make anxiety worse. 7% of the staff members recommended THC for treating epilepsy, where again, CBD has been seen to be more effective in treating epilepsy. 35% of the dispensary staff members had received customer service training, 26% business training, 20% medical training, 13% scientific training. And another 20% had received some other type of training that might have involved learning about cannabis. Yet 94% of the study's participants said they had provided advice to customers, including recommending which strains they should use and how marijuana could benefit particular symptoms. The most common symptoms reported by the staff members were chronic pain, insomnia, and anxiety. According to the staff members, 62% said they always or often checked in or followed up with their customers after their purchases. Again, this is in the Journal of Cannabis and Cannabinoid Research. Overall, staff members were more likely to recommend marijuana with an equal ratio of THC to CBD for people with anxiety, PTSD, or trauma, and Crohn's disease, rather than recommending marijuana high in THC. The staff members were also more likely to recommend marijuana with high levels of CBD for customers with ALS, epilepsy, and muscle spasms. And, of course, that's what the research would suggest as well. And some staff members did make recommendations that were not appropriate. 10% of staff members recommended high CBD to those who wanted to increase their appetite. And, again, it's THC that seems to work on the appetite, not CBD that works on the appetite. And I'm all for us getting more information to the customers and having better trained dispensary employees. The only worry I have is that it could provide yet another way of increasing the costs for the customer by requiring this level of training. We do have, a required level of training in most states when it comes to alcohol servers. You have to know when someone's too intoxicated and so forth. In Washington State, and I believe also in Colorado, the people working on the recreational side of the market aren't allowed to make recommendations regarding the health benefits or how it may affect someone for a particular condition. So the rules vary from state to state, but I believe it's time that we start getting some sort of mandatory training for these bud tenders, for people that are going to be working with the public, especially as we move more edibles and more concentrates into the market. These items need better advice for the general public, especially the newbies who may not know what they are doing. We do need some consistency and some sort of standardization for this training. And some of that is more difficult because of the inconsistent science regarding the effects marijuana may have on different conditions.
But the better standardized we can make this and the better trained we can have our dispensary employees, the better experience people will have in the legal marijuana markets and the less problems we'll have moving forward.
Oh, Piggy can run.
All right, that sound means that it's 20 after, and that means it's time for us to take a break. Got to pay some of the bills, and if you'd like to help us pay the bills, we're always taking donations here at the Russ Belville Show. You can PayPal them to Russ at RadicalRuss.com. All the money you send in goes toward travel budget and booking fees and hotels and computers and licenses and all the stuff that keeps this show running.
Maui Wowie, Acapulco Gold, California Kush, our strain stretch everywhere too.
This is the Cannabis Radio Network.
Equio, New Frontier's cutting-edge big data platform, puts the information and answers you need right at your fingertips in real time to help you more effectively run your cannabis business. Go to www.equio.io to sign up for your free membership today. Again, that's www.equio.io. Run with New Frontier and let us help you conquer the wild.
Previously on the Stoner Jesus Show.
St. Peter auditioning to be the Microsoft weed software spokesman.
Hey, this is St. Peter from Microsoft. They track weed. Does that mean they're going to like track the weed? Is that what this is about, Jesus? I'm not going to be tracked, Jesus. I'm not going to have my fucking weed tracked. And I'm not going to have fucking Microsoft track me back to my fucking house through my weed to where they fucking spied on people with that goddamn Xbox camera. Fuck this. Fuck Microsoft. Fuck this bullshit.
The Stoner Jesus Show, live Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Or find the Stoner Jesus Show podcast on demand at CannabisRadio.com and StonerJesus.net.
Peace, bitches.
The Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com, the National Wildlife Refuge for Marijuana Unicorns.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs, and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics, Herbie Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
Promoting the end of adult cannabis prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It's even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more on this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Well, the state of Arkansas has become the latest medical marijuana state to exclude small business opportunities by setting outrageous fees and capital requirements for a tiny few marijuana licenses. This is a report from, I forget what the news source was, but they write, the Medical Marijuana Commission decided on a $100,000 license fee for Arkansas's growers of medical marijuana. The fee is on top of the $15,000 fee decided by the commission just to apply. If an applicant is rejected, half the application fee will be refunded. The commissioners also decided on basic financial requirements for applicants hoping to have a cultivation facility. They voted that applicants must show proof of $1 million in assets or a surety bond, and must also show proof of $500,000 in cash. Yeah, so you or your company needs to be worth at least $1.5 million to even be considered for growing medical cannabis. Then you need to be willing to bet half your $15,000 application fee that they'll pick you. And if they do, you need to pay them $100,000 for your license. And the state is only awarding five licenses for growing medical cannabis. There is no limit, however, on how many applications they'll accept. And really, the more the better, because every application over the first five
is a guaranteed free $7,500 for the state of Arkansas. Now, if this naked cash grab couldn't be more apparent, the commissioners ruled that the five cultivation licenses wouldn't have to be located, one in each of the state's health districts, as they had decided before. I mean, gosh, that might better serve patients. You know, the ones located in the more rural areas of the state. No, now they've decided that the five grow sites can be located anywhere. And the commission will favor the locations that can be shown to have the greatest economic impact. You know, the important part of medical marijuana law. How much money could we make from it? Arkansas's law also lacks any provision for patients and their caregivers to cultivate their own cannabis. Of course, that further benefits the state in its desire to tax medical cannabis products, and it further benefits the five wealthy license holders from whom the patients will be forced to shop. Now, don't think that Arkansas is inventing the wheel here. They're just following along the precedent that has been set by a lot of the other medical marijuana states. For example, in Florida, 24 applicants who had to show $5 million in capital escrow paid over $60,000 each for a shot at just six grow licenses that cost $300,000 per year. That means Florida made over $1 million just from the non-refundable application fees. In Hawaii, 66 applicants who had to show $1 million in capital escrow paid $75,000 each for a shot at 16 grow licenses that cost $50,000 per year. So Hawaii made $3.75 million just from the non-refundable application fees. In Connecticut, 16 applicants who had to show $2 million in capital escrow paid $25,000 each for a shot at four grow licenses that cost $75,000 per year. So Connecticut made $300,000 just from the non-refundable application fees. In Illinois, 159 applicants paid $25,000 each for a shot at 21 grow licenses that cost $200,000 per year. That means Illinois made $3.45 million just from the non-refundable application fees. And in Pennsylvania, where they don't have the dispensary system up yet, the state will require a $10,000 non-refundable application fee, $1.5 million in capital escrow, and $500,000 cash on hand for a shot at 12 grow licenses that will cost $200,000 per year. So, based on my research, where I was able to find the application fees, the capital requirements, the total number of licenses, and the total number of applications, I put it all in a spreadsheet, figured it all out, and based on my research, nine medical marijuana states have made over $10 million just from non-refundable medical marijuana grow license application fees. Over $10 million for people handing in pieces of paper. So I'm a little concerned that what we're seeing in the development of medical marijuana since about 2010 have been systems that focus on the commercial aspect of it and that limit medical marijuana production to just the best connected, most capitalized performers in the market. This is a disservice to the patients. Unlike we have states like Maine and Colorado and Washington that don't set a limit on how many producers there can be. And even though they keep their licensing fees down to the four figures, maybe five figure level, they still make more money every year than these other states because they have so many more producers paying that fee. Arkansas, you're going the wrong direction on this. We need more growers, not fewer. All right, stay tuned. We'll be back with a blast from the past talking about hemp when we return.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
How high do you like your profit margin?
CannabisRadio.com.
The National Cannabis Industry Association presents the Seed to Sale Show, January 31st and February 1st at the Colorado Convention Center in Denver. Register now at www.seedtosaleshow.com or 888-409-4418. The NCIA Seed to Sale Show, the largest cannabis business event to be held in Denver, will host over 2,000 cannabis professionals and focus on innovations and technology in cultivation, infused products and extraction, and sales strategies. The show will recognize the best in the industry with the Cannavation and Cannatech Awards. Register before January 6th for $100 savings at seedtosaleshow.com. Use the code RADIO15 for an additional 15% off. Plan your experience now for the NCIA Seed to Sale Show, January 31st and February 1st. Seedtosaleshow.com or 888-409-4418.
Midnight, July 1st, 2015, adult marijuana prohibition came to an end in Oregon. Immediately, over 400,000 adults who consume cannabis responsibly were no longer criminals. This is what freedom sounds like. Brought to you by Portland Normal.
You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
Hey, everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
The global prohibition of cannabis is a crime against the planet committed primarily by the United States. But as more U.S. states reform their marijuana laws, countries around the world are stepping back from cannabis prohibition. Join us now for a look at the international cannabis reform movement in this edition of The Wide World of Weed.
Welcome back, everybody. It is 33 after the hour. We're coming to you live from Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. We are on site at the International Cannabis Business Conference and Expo. And right at this very moment, the guru of ganja, Ed Rosenthal, is receiving a Lifetime Achievement Award. And man, I wish I was in that other room right now, because he said he was going to have quite a fiery speech lined up. We'll have to find out later what he actually said. But joining me here at the desk, a good friend of the show, my sativa sister from Seattle, who rode with me on the Amtrak train, although we didn't know we were on the Amtrak train together. It's Joy Beckerman from Hemp Ace International. She's joining us here. And welcome back, Joy.
So great to be here every single time, Radical Russ.
Right on, right on. So here we are in Canada, and I understand that they had a shortage on the on one of the panels, and you got to kind of dish on Canadian hemp.
How awesome is that, that I got to pinch hit with the Miss Jamie Shaw and Dieter McPherson and Kirk Dussault? Yes, indeed, because there are some interesting things happening in Canada as well, even though, of course, they legalized here industrial hemp in 1998, but are an excellent sort of a case study of how we continue to be vigilant this many years later. Again, as I mentioned today, the Canadian hemp farmers are not allowed to collect plant material, so the flowering parts, leaves, even the bracts around the seeds for that non-intoxicating phytocannabinoid extraction, and are really beginning to ramp up the fight for that right.
Yeah, it's weird. You know, so I'm so focused on the marijuana issue and somewhat medical. Every time I get to talk to you in depth about hemp and we get into some of these weird little quirks of how the laws are set up, in Canada, they can harvest all the fiber stuff, but they can't use the leaf and the veggie material. In America, in some of the states, the marijuana producers can use all the marijuana material but can't use the stalks.
It's fascinating. Yeah, thank you. One. Yes, indeed. So in Canada, mostly, and the big issue with industrial hemp is that we need infrastructure. So with marijuana, you grow marijuana, you cure marijuana, you dry marijuana, you smoke marijuana, and or you further extract it. Now, that infrastructure for marijuana extraction, cannabis extraction, can be very expensive, but in terms of its comparison of being able to process the industrial hemp seed for oil on a large scale and for seed cake milling for our protein powders, and our decortication infrastructure, meaning the separating of that outer bast fiber of the stalk from that inner woody core, all of that infrastructure and all of that machinery is, we're talking tens of millions of dollars. And then further, if we're going to take that fiber and move it into further manufacturing involving textiles or paper, we actually need new infrastructure for that. We're not just going to be able to take hemp fiber and move it into a cotton sort of a lateral move. It doesn't work like that. Hemp is its own unique fiber in that respect. And it's the same thing with paper. We can't just move hemp pulp into a wood pulp paper making process. We have to actually get new equipment to be able to process hemp pulp. So having said that, back to the fact that the extraction of phytocannabinoids, whether it's marijuana or it's industrial hemp, being far less expensive, our hemp farmers, of course, whether we're in North America, whether we're in the United States or whether we're in Canada, want to be able to use those, that biomass, to not only not to waste it, because of course farmers are not into wasting biomass at all, but to use it for its, get it out into the public for the valuable medicine that it is, but also to be able to, you know, generate revenue from it. So since 1998, the farmers here have not been able to extract phytocannabinoids. They still are unable to. And yes, in America, whereas in Canada they have federal law, in America we have 50 different laws, and in fact 31 states that have actually passed some type of legislation for industrial hemp. And of those states, I divided into three categories of legalization. So some, let's take Colorado, have just been like, we're legalizing. We don't care that there's some federal path to do it, that there's some amendment, you silly farm bill people passed on a federal level. We're just going to do what we want to do. And they do extraction, they do fiber, they do seeds, to the extent that they have, of course, limited infrastructure to process fiber and seeds. They have a tremendous infrastructure to process extraction. Then we have these two other categories that have actually followed this pathway that the feds have laid out, which is Section 7606 of the Farm Bill. And these two different categories are, okay, we actually are going to legalize under a research program, but we're going to allow for plant material collection and the extraction of phytocannabinoids. And then we have states like Washington, which we just legalized hemp in March of 2016. I know that comes as a shock to folks because folks think that we legalized it when we legalized marijuana in 2012. We, like Canada, have written into our law that our hemp farmers will not be able to collect plant material and extract for phytocannabinoids. The silver lining to that is that states that have legalized in that same respect as Washington and or as Canada, not allowing the farmers to do that, will move forward with the oil seed and fiber. And the oil seed and fiber in the long run is the $1 trillion industry with industrial hemp. So phytocannabinoid extraction is a smaller portion, obviously, of what industrial hemp's true potential is. But it's fascinating that a non-intoxicating of the 144 cannabinoids that we know of, only 143 of them, I believe, so far have we nailed as intoxicating. And that's even the decarboxylated form of one of them. Not allowed to. So literally, we're talking about wasted biomass. It must be left in Canada and in states like Washington on farm. Cannot be processed. Must stay on the farm. In sense.
Wow. And then when we're talking about this extraction of phytocannabinoids from the plant material of industrial hemp, that's the longhand version of getting CBD from hemp. That's basically they're trying to make this workaround of, oh, the CBD oil is good for the kids, but marijuana is illegal, but hemp will make that. And this is where we get into that murky area of these sellers that are saying, oh, we've got this legal CBD, it's legal in all 50 states, and maybe you can dish
Thank
on that
you.
A bit.
Yeah, indeed. And it's such a gray area. It's a fascinating area because it's developing so rapidly. It's like, don't blink, something changed in either a regulation or not. But so I think the big drumbeat that the DEA, of course, is beating all the while is that phytocannabinoids come from the resins of the plant. And that if you look at the definition of marijuana in the Controlled Substances Act, you'll see that in those two sentences, the word resin is used three times. It's used twice within the first sentence that discusses marijuana, and it's used once in the second sentence that discusses the exclusion of industrial hemp within marijuana. But the issue is that it discusses itself in that sentence as an exception to the exclusion. So when it says such term, meaning marijuana, does not include the mature stalks thereof, and it goes on, it then has a parenthetical that says, except the resins therefrom. So what the architects of the Nixon administration, although you know I, being the nerd that I am, I can't help but say that this definition is actually taken word for word from the 1937 Marijuana Tax Act. The architects of that definition of marijuana wanted to make sure we knew that whether you are talking about marijuana or whether you were talking about the exception for marijuana, which is industrial hemp, those resins are off limits. So, having said that, the DEA beats that drum. We have, however, such a defensible network of holes big enough to drive a hemp CBD truck through, whether it's various new law, the definition of industrial hemp that was written in the Section 7606, which does not include a carve-out for resin. So this new definition, which is historical, which was included in that farm bill, that distinguishes industrial hemp from marijuana for the first time in U.S. history, simply defines it as any part of the plant cannabis sativa, whether growing or not, with a THC concentration of not greater than 0.3% on a dry weight basis. So no carve out for the resins. This is a hole big enough to drive a truck through. We're saying, yay. At Section 7606, you're allowing us to use any part of the industrial hemp plant without a carve-out. Then we have the subsequent language in Consolidated Appropriations Act, as you know, because medical marijuana is also being protected in these budgetary bills that the U.S. Congress passes each year, saying that the Department of Justice and the Drug Enforcement Administration are not allowed to use certain funds to prosecute state legal and state compliant actors. And that includes industrial hemp as well. Having said that, there is the USDA, the United States Department of Agriculture, the DEA, and the FDA, our Food and Drug Administration, and our U.S. Customs and Border Protection. Those are the four federal agencies that you want to be looking at for this constantly changing regulation, policies, and practices as concerns hemp-derived CBD. In the end, they all are agreeing and they are all putting out there that no, they do not intend for industrial hemp under research federal law to be grown for folks to be extracting phytocannabinoids from that. It's totally defensible, but the feds are telling us that no, they are not condoning that. The issue is they're neither enforcing it nor going after these actors, and so we continue to just consider ourselves to be defending what we're doing. But in the plain letter of the law, when we say on all these websites it's legal in all 50 states, it's a leap. It's a, I don't want to condemn anybody for making those claims. You know, being on the law side of things, I don't say that because I don't believe that claim. It's a defensible claim. Let's leave it at that.
Well, we just have about a minute and a half left here, and Jamie Shaw is right in front of the desk here, so I thought we'd say hi to Jamie, and thank you for getting Joy on your panel today.
Oh, yeah, it was awesome that she was able to do it. We had some last-minute cancellations and found out that Joy was also a member of the Canadian Hemp Alliance, so that was amazing, and she killed it.
All right, so just real quickly here, what are some of the main, or maybe the main thing you'd like to get across to people listening about Canadian activism and how they can help?
Oh, geez. You know, it's honestly very similar to what's going on in the States. The specific issues are different, but we see the same patchworks. We see the same cities moving forward with sensible regulations and making compromises in certain areas. And we see other places doing the opposite or going in different directions. Up here where dispensaries are still illegal, according to the government, it's fascinating to us when places like Louisiana pass legislation that allows them to have dispensaries. So it's a little mind-boggling here. But, you know, ultimately, I think we're all going the same way. We're all going the same place. We all kind of want the same things, ultimately. And there's some differing opinions about how to get there, as you know very well yourself from your conversations with Be Real this week.
Yes, yes. Certainly learned a lot from that. Well, I'm learning a ton about what's going on in Canada and up here at the ICBC. So many great Canadian activists to learn from. Jamie, thanks so much. And do you have any contacts you want to give out to people if they'd like more information?
Sure. Well, if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's Jamie S. A. Shaw, or Jamie Shaw on Facebook.
All right.
Yeah, those would be good places to check.
All right. And for you, Joy, any contact information for people?
Thank you so much. HempAce.com and at HempAce on Twitter, Joy Beckerman on Facebook.
Right on.
Love
all right.
Love you, Jamie Shaw, goddess.
Back at you, girl.
That's all the time we got for this interview. So thank you so much for stopping by, learning a little bit more about what's happening all around the world. When we come back, we'll have time for a radical rant on the racist, homophobic reefer madness of Maine Governor Paul LePage. Stay tuned.
Hell, that's a rant you could do just about any day of the week, isn't it? My thanks to Joy Beckerman and Jamie Shaw. That was an interview recorded in Vancouver, BC earlier this year. Stay tuned, because when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the NFL's continuing marijuana idiocy. They suspended another player for a year for failing a marijuana test. We'll be right back.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Seed to sale, clicks to conversions, and more. You're listening to the Cannabis Radio Network.
Cash?
Sorry.
I don't carry around cash, and I don't want to use the ATM and pay surcharges.
You don't need to carry cash. Haven't you heard about PayQuick?
Okay, tell me about PayQuick.
It's the safe and easy way to pay. It works just like your debit card to securely pay for your purchase, and it gives you rewards points every time you use it.
Nice.
PayQuick, the safe and easy way to pay. PayQuick.com.
Today I started smoking my weed again. I'm right back where I've really always been. I got over my weed just long enough. Let my probation end. And today I started smoking my weed again. Hey, boy, pass me that joint. Chong's choice.
The Tommy Chong Podcast, only on CannabisRadio.com.
The Russ Belville Show. Chat is for friends 18 and older. We expect our chat to be civil, mature, and free from excessive profanity. If you don't like these rules, there are approximately 6 billion other chat rooms with lower standards that you can visit.
The International Cannabis Business Conference comes to San Francisco, California on February 16th and 17th, 2017. The ICBC San Francisco, Northern California's first business-to-business event since the recent historic election, will bring together top state regulators and industry leaders to discuss permits, business models, and opportunities within the newly enacted laws and landscape. Of course, the ICBC also famously offers some of the best cannabis industry networking, leveraging our worldwide following to connect wholesalers, brands, distributors, investors, and strategic partners. And don't forget to come early for our VIP reception and stay late for our legendary after party. Join us for the longest continuously running cannabis business conference in California at the Hilton San Francisco Union Square, the one and only International Cannabis Business Conference. Visit internationalcbc.com for tickets today.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make them.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical rant.
Well, once again, the No Fun League, the NFL, has suspended a star player for his use of marijuana. This time, it's Randy Gregory, who's a defensive end for the Dallas Cowboys. Now, Gregory had failed a drug test at the NFL Combine. Because of that, he fell out of the first round of the draft, where he was expected to be chosen, all the way to the second round of the draft, where he was chosen 60th by the Cowboys. Now, the fall in his draft position, of course, also corresponds to a fall in how much money he could get for his contract. And this is one of the aspects of these drug test suspensions and these drug test revelations in the combine that I think doesn't get enough coverage, is that by reducing this guy's stance in the draft, it's costing him money, and it's also saving these teams money. They're getting superstar performers at bargain basement prices. Now, of course, that bargain basement price comes with the risk that the NFL may end up suspending that player, as has happened with Gregory. Now, he slipped it, like I said, slipped down to the second round in 2015. He was the 60th overall pick. In his rookie season, he played 12 games before he suffered an ankle sprain. Actually 12 games as a rookie after suffering an ankle sprain. My apologies. So this season, he's been mostly on the bench because he failed one of the NFL's drug tests and got suspended for 4 games, and then failed another drug test and got suspended for 10 games. So the NFL season is only 16 games, folks. He got suspended for the first 14 games of 2016 for smoking pot. So he is able to play in the last 2 games of the season. In his second game, he finally registered his first career sack. And now he has yet failed a third drug test. And the NFL has announced he's suspended for a year. And that's calendar year. So that's as of now, January 5th through January 5th of next year. So the next possible time Randy Gregory might be able to play for the Cowboys is if they make next year's playoffs. This is getting ridiculous to continue suspending these players. And the thing that really cracks me up about it is how many of these players that they're suspending who are superstars at their positions. Recall that the NFL suspended multiple times Josh Brown, the wide receiver who had been with the Cleveland Browns. When Josh was playing, or Josh Gordon, excuse me, when he had been playing for the Cleveland Browns, he set that year's receiving record, individual receiving record. It was something like 1,600 yards or something like that. He was over 200 yards ahead of number two, of the second place player in receptions. And he set that mark playing only 14 games of the 16-game season because he had been suspended for a couple games for smoking pot. We had Ricky Williams, who famously was suspended, probably the most famous medical marijuana-using player ever, was suspended multiple times for his use of marijuana, and yet was the NFL's leading rusher one of those years, and a very good running back in the rest of the years as well. So the NFL suspending these guys for their use of marijuana, when these guys are the top performers at their positions, makes you wonder what the hell they're doing it for. It's obviously not affecting these guys' abilities. Tyrann Mathieu, The honey badger, defensive, is he a safety or a corner? I can't remember. Another guy, top player, you know, highly rated coming out of college, who falls in draft position because it's discovered he used marijuana. So it can't be for performance reasons. It can't be for the good of the players, because it doesn't seem to be affecting the players' abilities on the field whatsoever. You'd think if marijuana was somehow debilitating to these guys, then the people getting suspended would be these second string and third string bench riders. And that's rarely the case. It's oftentimes starters and superstars and all pros that are getting taken down by this substance abuse designation by failing the NFL's P tests. And keep in mind that failing the NFL's P test is easier to do than most sports leagues' P tests. The NFL is testing down to 35 nanograms of metabolite. Now, they had raised that from 15 nanograms of metabolite. Yay. But compared to other sports leagues, like Major League Baseball tests at 50 nanograms, National Hockey League doesn't even test. The Olympics, the international standard, and the mixed martial arts standard, and the boxing standard all throughout America and the world is 150 nanograms. And all of these leagues that set this high standard set it for the same reason. They always come back and say, look, we just want to make sure no one's smoking pot in the ring or on the track or on the field or on the rink or whatever it might be. We just want to make sure that they're not currently high. If we set it too low, we're just going to be catching people that smoke on their off time, like what they're doing with the NFL. And when it comes to this drug testing for sports, obviously it's not being done for the health of the players, not being done to, you know, protect them any. It's not being done to protect the integrity of the game, because obviously some of these guys are the top performing athletes. It's being done for moral reasons. That's the only reason the sports leagues continue to suspend players for their use of marijuana. It's not performance enhancing. It's not performance reducing. It's merely illegal in some states and frowned upon by lots of people, including the pharmaceutical industry and the alcohol industry, who so heavily advertise during the NFL games. If you want to have any idea what's behind all of this. And the tragedy of this, of course, is what we know about medical cannabis, how it can benefit the players in the NFL, particularly when we're talking about the head trauma that they suffer. It's bad enough that they, you know, that we're pumping these guys full of Vicodins and Oxycontins and Dilaudid and fentanyl and all these other massively addictive, heavy-duty opiate painkillers. That's bad enough for the guys that are just dealing with chronic pain. But when it comes to head trauma, nothing is superior to the use of cannabis in dealing with concussion, in dealing with traumatic brain injury, in dealing with chronic traumatic encephalopathy. The research that we get out year after year on this is proving that it is a crime to not let these NFL players use it. When these guys get their bell rung on the field, the first step in the concussion protocol ought to be taking them to the sideline and a full bag of volcano vaporizer cannabis ready to go for them. Okay, maybe not on the sideline. Maybe we don't want the kids to see it. But at least back in the locker room, they ought to be puffing on a vaporizer bag first thing. We know that the immediate introduction of cannabinoids into someone who has recently suffered a concussion or head trauma can reduce the amount of damage by up to 50%. So this is just criminal what we're doing to these players. And it's no surprise if these NFL players like Randy Gregory are turning to cannabis for pain relief, are turning to cannabis for their head trauma. It's also good for their anxiety. These guys are living a practice every day, put your body on the line lifestyle every day. It can be very stressful. And to punish them for that is just barbaric. But on the other hand, I'm a Packers fan, so anything that makes the Cowboys team easier to beat, I guess I can look the other way this time. Not really. Just kidding. Hey, folks, that's all the time we got for hour one, but stay tuned. We got a whole nother hour coming up. We'll talk more about the cannabis news of the day and take your live calls at 650-LEGAL-MJ. That's 650-534-2565. For everyone here at Delta 9 Studios and CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.